What's happening, you right there? I'm Tom. You can find me over at CannabisIndustryLawyer.com, and I'm here with Cannabis Legalization News, the number one source of cannabis news on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Take us with you in your car or on your road trips. We have a big story today. We have federal news about Chuck Schumer and safe banking. Maybe we have more to be optimistic about if they tie it to crypto reform. Who knows? Not only that, we have stuff from... We have New Mexico news. We have more federal news out of the DOJ. I'll show you at home how you can sign up for updates from the DEA, which may give you an email the day that it will be published, that it will go to Schedule 3. So you'll be one of the first ones to read the proposed interim final rule. We'll have a 420 somewhere, New York. Oh, New York. Some news out of Europe, news out of Ohio. We have a name that strain, some stuff that we were not expecting, and cannabis markets, some information on that. Plenty to talk about this hour. So let's bring on everybody's favorite co-host, Miggy.
What up, Stranger Danger?
Stranger Danger? How so?
I'm at the internet, man, but happy Sunday.
Oh, the internet. Yes. And if you're joining us from the internet, thank you so much, especially if you are a member of our channel. Members, we will give you shout outs. You will be in the credits at the end of the show. So if this is your first time here, consider subscribing and tuning in. I have a new video that will be dropping later this week, and then I'm drafting another one about why I haven't made any coin on THCA yet.
Well, and I mean, you make some really good like analytical videos, dude, as far as when it comes to analyzing the law. And that's why you joined us, because you know, we are like witnesses to regulation and what it is, as two adults who've been talking about this subject for a little too long. But you know, what is it, deschedule or reschedule? There's the debate, and we have Schumer news, right? Politics.
We got a lot of Schumer news, and so we have some Schumer news about Senate Democrats signal new attempt at federal marijuana legalization. And so I'm not going to do my terrible Chuck Schumer impression, which is basically just a Jewish grandpa. And so he's going to try once again the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act. We've gone over that before. It has, in my opinion, high taxes and quite high costs of doing business. Shout out to our new YouTube member over there that just joined. Cool. Thanks, man. But yeah, the CAOA, I was not the biggest fan of, because I thought taxes were too high. And everybody would then, if you're growing or making foodstuffs, you would need to have GMP compliance. So,
I call it the caca bill. Because I mean, we already have safe banking. We have the MORE Act. There are so many other things that could have happened but haven't happened. So remember when he would announce, like, very soon we're going to have...
was like a whole year of our podcast where people would tune in, and it was like, soon, soon. And eventually I just felt like we were the boy who cried wolf. But if we weren't,
yes,
that right there, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was the boy who was crying wolf about soon, soon, soon.
Oh, soon.
And then after he finally introduced this bill to legalize cannabis, it died without being heard in a committee.
So it's going to be tied to some reform bill on cryptocurrency, which...
Safe banking. And so that is our second story regarding Schumer and key House lawmakers. They're discussing merging the marijuana banking bill, the safe banking, with the cryptocurrency reform that's coming out of Politico and basically everywhere. And so House Financial Services Chair and ranking member, Representative Maxine Waters, they have met with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to talk about their stablecoin legislation. And they think that that is where they should maybe add safe banking, because if they're going to pass regulation on cryptocurrency, maybe we can get banking regulation for cannabis taken care of as well.
Do you think, though? I mean, this banking, safe banking should be a no-brainer, right? Like, it should be like the next step towards the rescheduling of what's going to be coming next, right? The overall infrastructure. This will help give you that ability to get loans or file it. What was it? 280E, right? These are all financial fiduciary things that you have to do if you're running a real business, right? Like, I think about, dude, how we're going through this process. We are licensed owners, right? We are
waiting for a license that we purportedly won, you know, and so we did not get that email last week. If you're watching this and you're in Chicago and you did, awesome. Don't forget to get your information to the state of Illinois by Wednesday, April 17th. Mm. But I hope that we are in wave number two, the downstate wave. We will find out.
But it's still a year in the process, right? Like,
oh yeah,
people think they win a license or whatever. It's like, you're in the industry. You now have the right to do what you want, but you don't, because part of the process of these rules and regulations, something that you've been a part of, I've been a part of as far as in the quality department, is, you know, you can, what stops anybody from in America buying a car, right? Nothing, right? Money. But, well, it's like, but a driver's license, right? There's, you don't need a driver's license to buy a car, but the driver's license,
You need money.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's pretend that you have enough to buy a car.
Sure. Yeah. I can pretend.
You're okay. But I'm just saying is, like, the driver's license is that barrier to, it's like being a functional part of society. It is a rule, but nothing stops you from doing this thing. Whereas, same thing with cannabis, where you have the traditional market, the barter market, and then you have, like, people who have brick and mortar stores and just want to own a shop, like a 7-Eleven or a grocery store. It's just another commodity. It's not a...
Well, it is and it isn't. And that's some type of thing that I've been getting into on LinkedIn with. I don't know any other commodity that says, like, all extracts, derivatives, salts, isomers, salts of isomers. Like, I understand corn and I understand soybeans. And so corn is not corn syrup and oranges is not orange juice. And so, like, it seems that the hemp is, like, a little bit vague and overly broad when it's trying to define what this agricultural commodity is, at least in my opinion. But some people would say that I am a prohibitionist, even though I'm really not. And I thought that the people that published something, we'll talk about that later. It's the letter from the U.S. Cannabis Council. But let's go to our New Mexico story. New Mexico, the open market in the most recent legalization.
No, this was an issue. Yeah.
But you know what people are doing? Feds are seizing weed from state licensed businesses, leaving the industry perplexed. The DEA is out there taking what purports to be legal cannabis grown pursuant to a legal license issued by the New Mexico Cannabis Control Division, which is odd.
Well, this is something that's going to be resolved in a lawsuit, right? If that hasn't already, you know. Well,
I think it's what it actually is. Because you have to remember, New Mexico is right there at Las Cruces. So Las Cruces is kind of on the border of Mexico and also Texas, El Paso, right across there.
Yeah.
I think we have an instance of international trade in the drug trade going the opposite direction. So we have certain drugs coming up from Mexico and high-grade cannabis going down from the United States.
Sure.
Or cross state borders from New Mexico to Texas. And that goes against the highly regulated nature of the lawful plants. And so it gives people something to do if they think, and by some people, I mean the DEA, something to do if the regulated operators are going outside the law. And it's called diversion of product. In our dispensary, no diversion.
Of course not. No, we're going to be the most law compliant motherfuckers ever. But
we're going to do YouTubes on it. Yeah.
We're going to be so boring and awesome because it's going to pay for like our lifestyles. But this is disturbing too, but disturbing because like this is a state law with the federal people acting. But in the end, won't the lawsuit be in the favor of the consumer? Because if the raid, whatever happened, confiscated stuff happened in the state side of things, you didn't cross the state line, right?
Border protection. And so that's who was doing the seizures. So this is the federal government, but Customs and Border Protection. So I'm assuming what was happening was product was trying to be sent down south of the border.
All right. But still, you can't. I mean, like, it'd be Texas where they'd have to, like, do that raid, right? Anything in the state itself is still within the guidelines, right? Won't they can defend themselves by saying, how do you, intent's not a thing until you cross that state line.
We'll be right back.
Bro,
is dead.
The Supreme Court has delivered another blow to the Voting Rights Act.
Despite growing dangers from climate change, tonight the U.S. Supreme Court curbing the government's power to fight it.
The makeup of the Supreme Court, the decisions they have already handed down, and the cases they are hearing this year are not coincidental. So what is next? What can we expect from this chaos court and the networks at work to serve them up cases that will expedite their agenda? We'll seek to answer those questions, examining issues at the heart of the cases the court is currently deciding. Follow Grave Injustice wherever you get your podcasts. We're releasing episodes every Thursday throughout the season.
Now, you know, one of his, so this is Matt Chadwick, CEO of Vertically Integrated New Mexico Cannabis Company, Top Crop Cannabis Co. He was reached out for a comment on Marijuana Moment and told the publication that his employee was transporting 22 pounds of product worth about $140,000 to their Albuquerque locations on February 14th when the vehicle was stopped by CPB and checkpoint and a dog alerted, leading to a secondary inspection. And that's interesting in the sense that they are taking their product from near the border or 100 miles from the border. So this CPB, which is the Customs and Border Protection, has jurisdiction, and they seize the product, which doesn't make sense.
Does
it's going the other way toward Albuquerque?
Well, my question is, I don't know about you or there in the northeast where you're at, but I grew up in Southern California where they have border checkpoints many miles within off the freeway, right? So I don't know if there's a Canadian version of that from the south, but you know, that's where these guys got stopped by border patrol crossing, you know, which should have been a normal day's drive on the freeway. Instead, they have to go to this checkpoint. There's a red flag. That little bit of land is now federal property. So there's a very semantical situation going on in this.
Well, it's very semantic because then the CPB falls under the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, which is not bound by that congressional rider preventing the DOJ from using funds to interfere with the implementation of state medical cannabis programs. And so even if it was grown pursuant to a medical cannabis license, they still could have tried to seize it.
Sure. And again, though, this is just a precedent, right? This is kind of why you need to have that medical, you know, guy for right now. You know, we ideally home grows, everybody would be a ground, be able to do what they want. But there's ideally there's what there is, what we have. And just like us waiting for a year for a license, right? Like we got we won, or at least we were formally won. And now we're coming up to round three of new paperwork. Like, yay.
I've seen this most recent round of paperwork. It will take us less than 5 minutes. In theory, we both could sign it, but like I might just sign it so it's faster, you know? And yeah.
But this process,
we'll fill it out. It'll be like, this is good for you, right? Like, okay, let's get this in. Yeah.
Right. But it's the overall, like, dealing weed how I thought it would be when I was 18 to 21, when it was a traditional market and I would buy, then split up and then, you know, get my own interest. Actual business, actual compliance is so boring, but it's the thing that's our infrastructure. You go outside, you're seeing compliance every day. You know, like you go to a store, you buy stuff. That's what I do for a business. I make sure the machines do the right measurements. And, we kind of need it, which would be nice if everybody could just, I mean, you can buy seeds now, right?
Yep. Seeds are still considered hemp for now. And we'll see. Seed to ready to smoke cannabis is a long process that takes many days and a lot of care.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, growing weed's not hard, but growing good weed is. So what else we got in the okay?
Oh, I think we can go over to the next story.
Which one we got lined up? What we got?
And then I have some interesting stuff for the DEA so that I can share that with you. And so, like, yeah, that's marijuana company claims DEA review process is unconstitutional in new federal lawsuit. This one's out of the Marijuana Moment. And they are asking, a Rhode Island cannabis company is asking for the court to prevent an administrative law judge from the agency reviewing the firm's application to manufacture marijuana for research purposes, calling the matter an unconstitutional proceeding led by an unconstitutional decision maker. And they have taken this action against the federal government filing a petition for a writ of mandamus, release me, or whatever mandamus translates to from Latin, last year, Court of District Appeals, that alleged the DEA's years-long licensing application process has hamstrung the company's business and stymied innovation that could benefit patients, right? Because you can't do any research unless the DEA says you can. So that's why Schedule 3 is going to be so great, because it'll become easier to do research in the cannabis plant, and that research that you do will not have to be only to find the harm. So for the past decades, the only research that has been funded by the government has been to find where did cannabis hurt you, not what are the benefits, or just what are the effects, as opposed to what are the negative effects. They have this lens of bias because it's a Schedule I substance
that
should be removed.
Well, again, welcome to the world of legalization and just business, right? Like, this is why it's so hard to like go in on your own accord. You know, this is a changing rulemaking process. Well, hell, this is just like the last story in New Mexico, right? You think you're compliant, you think you're doing all the right things, and now a federal thing is coming on. So, you know, the world's still not in your favor in this industry. You have to have that kind of Amazon oligarchy funding, unfortunately, to survive, you know. And you know, that's that, and then we'll talk about that later too. But with this one though, you know, one of the things I like to you know, everybody figures about big marijuana, big Walmart marijuana, whatever, right? But there's something I believe in, right? I don't believe in trickle down economics, but I do believe in trickle down justice, right? Because these guys, like this lawsuit, are going to help create that infrastructure where the next guy who can probably get involved in the business, get that license, whatever it is, and be a whatever your passion is, right? Growing, extraction. I don't know. There's so many facilities to cannabis that you can do things. But we're going to go on the next story. You got more to say about the big pharma?
I got more to say about the DEA.
Okay.
And so, like, a member of the program, Robin. I think DEA will make an announcement on 420 to begin the rescheduling process. And how can you and you in your cars, unfortunately, if you're listening to this, you're going to have to go to federalregister.gov. But if you're watching it on the internet, it's much easier. I'm going to share this with you. And then you and you at home can forward that to other people. There is the link for the federalregister.gov. And let's share my screen here. So I'll show you how easy it is. You just go to this this page right here. So it's federalregister.gov/agencies/Drug Enforcement Administration. And right here is where you can subscribe to it. And so you want filed on public inspection and then subscribe to their feed. Last week, I got an email from them saying, hey, here's some new rules that are going to be published. And I checked and it was not the one I was looking for, but because I've subscribed and I've gotten, so like published would be, you want the filed on public inspection. And so that's like before it's actually published. And so that'll be a few days before it's published. And I'm just waiting. Here it is, April 14th, hopefully next week, we will get an email from the DEA because you signed up on that. And I shared it and I'll share it. I'll put that one in the comments below and then I'll pin it. But hey, right now, let's just
take a break
and pause and say, you know what? Somewhere on this world, two places actually, it is 420 somewhere.
Yes, sir.
What a time to be alive. It's beautiful out there. I can't wait to get out and take a walk. It's like 80 degrees plus in central Illinois. And next week, in fact, tomorrow, Missouri will be opening. And, you know, Missouri's open. We anticipate at least 2,000 entrepreneurs signing up and throwing their hat in the ring. And that's really the interesting aspect about it. Like, how much planning are you going to put into a business that is a lottery? Right. Like, you know, like if you have a 2% chance of walking away with the dispensary because like you're like Miggy, you're qualified, like you have minor cannabis arrest, your social equity in Missouri. How much foresight are you going to put into that application? None. You know, it's I win or I don't win. I have like a 1-2% chance of winning. Why would you sit there like, and this is how it's going to happen, and that's going to be how it's. You have 2 years if you win, and then you know, and so you have to be eligible. That's the important thing, and then you get one shot. So if you're eligible, take a shot.
This is actually also one of the few ways that you do get a shot with that low entry barrier, right? Like Washington State, the one of the first states to do it, you had to have real estate. You had to have a place. Texas, who is screwing so many people with money right now, milking the dry because you have to have real estate, right? Many of these things have factors. But with Missouri, too, I thought it was quite interesting, right? They have five options.
You have to go like, I want to be in that place. But you don't have to have it locked up. And so if you win, you got to be the man. You are the founder or the lady. So like you are the person that is going to found that company. And you can't leave your seat until you're operational and open for business. And then you can cash out. But, you know, it's a chance that it's not a big chance, but it's a chance. And then if you win, you know, there's companies like ours that will be there. Be like, if I was you, I do it this way. I can't sign for you. I could tell you, if I was you, I'd sign on this deal. But it's you. You're the guy who's calling the shots.
Sure. But we had a 7% chance, you know, and that's the other thing, too, is like you're coming from experience. Why people should join with you, right? Because you still are doing a social incubator for Missouri, though, no? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so we're really excited about helping social equity in Missouri. That's one of the reasons why I haven't gotten the THCA game, because like that's just about making coin for me. How do we make coin for you? You know, and so the social equity applicants, that is something that was injurious to them. And so like it hurt their family directly. Like they were arrested, or their parents were arrested, or their spouse was arrested, or their children. And so like they got ensnared in the Justice Department, and they had to do all that stuff. But now you can, because of that, have equity. And then what is that? And so like sometimes people say like, well, you don't know what you brought to the table. It's like, well, bullshit. Like we know exactly what they brought to the table. What's that license worth? Yeah. Is it worth $500,000? Is it worth $1 million? Well, that's pretty much a social equity's capital contribution. Like they were able to bestow upon this legal entity, this LLC, the privilege of conducting cannabis business.
You know, I think with I like Missouri's rollout, how they're doing this too, with the disabled veteran addition to, like no other state has that, right? Like,
no.
So you just gotta meet one of these five qualifications, you know, me getting arrested, you know, several tickets later, you know, now I have opportunities, but the process is so strung out anyways, though, because we're a year into this damn thing. It still don't have, you don't quit your day job. That's what it comes down to.
Not quit your day job. And if you went in Missouri, they're going to want you to come down and say hello in Columbus and be like, yep, I'm the guy or the person, the girl that's here. That's the founder. We're next stop, operational or bust. Because like that's one of the interesting things. Another way to qualify in Missouri is to be certified poor. And they will say like, okay, prove you're poor after you win. And so you just gave that person a license, privilege, knowing full well they cannot afford to operate.
Yeah.
And so like talk about being placed into a position of
lack
of bargaining, you know, like so like it's just an unfair, unequal bargaining position, you know?
Well, you know, this leads into the predatory article that we're going to talk about, right? Like there is people taking advantage of people, but like as we are part of the process, like we represent the thing that we're talking about, because I still haven't had a chance. Like you're saying about like making the plan, right? We just tried, we won. Woo-hoo. You're like, okay, if we get it, this is the plan. And then the state just says, no, it's not. Your plan is, you're going to wait until we're done with you, you know, like survive, motherfucker.
That's how they're doing it, but that is how they're doing it. And then if you're one of those people that is lucky enough to win a license, let's figure out what it's worth, draw some models up, you know, shop it.
Tom's going mute. So like when every once in a while the music, it seems to like put you on mute. At least that's what I hear. Like it seems like you drift off. Did Tom go mute on you? Let me know. Let us know. Because
that's odd. And I'm not touching nothing. And like in theory, this is an XLR mic and all that. But it could be the internet.
Yeah.
And so like we are on a live feed. And so if the internet goes like, it might come in and out. You know, it's not that we are doing this on our own network. We are straight live.
That's kind of what we've been doing this for like 5 years now, just live. Like the speaking of what are you doing? You're going to a wedding on 420. I was thinking about doing a game stream on my on my channel, on my personal, because you know, we keep this channel like with news and you know, relevant cultural. You know, we're keeping the algorithm strong. The
SEO. Well, tell people how they can follow you on Twitch or whatever so they can watch a game.
Yeah, well, Mickey420, just find me. I'm the only one, or at least, you know, with this look, this mug. You can't miss me if you just find it. You know, Google it. And then, you know, let me know if, you know, you would be partake. So Call of Duty is doing the Cheech and Chong drop.
So I'm going to buy the skins.
Yeah.
Well, like Robin, a member of the show, is like tuning in. And so he's like, oh, I hope I get caught with a seed that gives him 30 days and then I'll be social equity. Here's how social equity always works. And so the state legalizes it and then they fix that date in glass. And so like Missouri's date is, I don't know, like the 22nd. So it's like sometime in 2022, December 7th, 2022, I believe, if Missouri went fully legal. And then like Illinois is like May 27th or something like that, 2019. So your arrest has to happen before it became like legal under their state laws very often. And so social equity can be attacked for arbitrariness to a certain extent. You know, and they're preferencing like you had to have been arrested in my state before it was legal in my state. So like if you're trying to be a social equity applicant out of California, or I guess it'd be Colorado because they legalized 10 years ago. And so it would be harder to be from Colorado and recognize the social equity in Illinois than it would be to be from Illinois or, you know, Michigan, because Michigan and Illinois kind of legalized it almost on the same day.
Yeah.
And Missouri a couple years thereafter.
Well, again, disabled veteran, you know, any percentage, you qualify, you got a chance.
You're going to go become a disabled veteran tomorrow and be eligible in Missouri. You can lose all your money, but then you have to, like, you had to have been poor for many years because you have to document it. The proof elements for your licensure for the micro business license in Missouri is tricky. And I would suggest and advise arrest and then no disqualifying felonies, but arrest, always no disqualifying felonies, or disabled veteran. Those are the two easiest proofs that exist.
So I posted both my YouTube channel. Thanks for encouraging me, guys. And also the link for the Missouri's requirement. Like, go to the website. Go see if you meet one of these five. It tells you what documentation you need. And if you can get those ducks in a row, you know, hit up Tom and do that social incubator stuff. Because the thing is, the reason why you wanted to go into like a partnership with this guy is a year later, we're still waiting.
Contingency representation. Contingency representation. But it's one of those where, because like we've done it before, and so like we can help other people do it too and get a good deal. Yeah. That's the whole goal.
There are ways. So Robin said, never been in the army, never been arrested. Damn, dude, you led a good life.
Sorry, you're not social equity. You can wait and have somebody who's qualified win and then make an offer to invest in their business. But that still just preferences the wealthy people.
Ooh. We're doing a little Tokyo.
Let's go to New York. New York ruling puts adult use program on shaky ground. We kind of reported on this a little bit last week, but then we have some more specifics on it. And so to briefly recap, the Wednesday ruling in Leafly Holdings versus New York State OCM, had simply put, prevented it from doing business in the state and found that the plaintiffs issued an order that invalidated whole sections of the state's adult use program, including parts 118 through 121, 123 through 125, and 131 of Chapter 2 of Title 9 of the Official Compilation Codes, Rules, and Regulations. And they voided them as arbitrary and capricious. And then the next day, the same judge issued a clarifying order, amending his original order and replacing the original sweeping order with precise instructions as follows. The following sections are null and void as arbitrary and capricious. The third-party marketing ban, you see, this is getting back to like what we were mentioning back a week ago with New York. You have certain commercial speech rights, so that third-party marketing ban was arbitrary and capricious. The pricing ban, the third-party order ban. So, like, you can go try to buy weed on Leafly or what's the other one that's Leafly's competitor?
Maybe Weedmaps.
Pardon?
Weedmaps.
Weedmaps.
Or yeah. Dutchie now.
Yeah, they're trying to be this third-party provider that could do the purchase for you. And then just like DoorDash, it would like ring up the thing in the dispensary. And then the dispensary would still be the person that's actually making the transaction.
I mean, this is the shit show of regulation, period, right? I mean, whether it be New York, Missouri, Illinois, like you, unfortunately, you're still going through it. Because I know you're always amazed by the prices you see here. Whereas I actually saw a free open market. Matter of fact, this shirt used to be one of the old cannabis markets, like legit market. You walk in, multiple vendors, no one's getting arrested, and everyone's, you know, you buy a quarter pound or whatever, a gram. That was such a variety of just...
He's talking about quarter pounds and grams. You know what that reminds me of?
Oh, yes.
Well, name that strain.
T-H. Bring a little bow.
We got the hook?
That's pretty
nice. There she is. That's what we're fighting for, everybody. That girl right there. She has a name, and her name is very important. And then not only that, it is, I wouldn't say this is an heirloom strain, but it's definitely, oh, it may be. Yeah, heirloom, or it goes back of the back. Now, I wouldn't say that it's a land race, but whatever's right after the land race.
Like 70s, maybe, like one of those like old hippie strains. Sure. That should be the barrier, right? Like you have the land race strains, and then you have where like people went to India on fucking backpacking and came back like religious or whatever time frame in America,
right?
In the 60s.
No, but, the sativa, I always think that it's from Jamaica, but maybe not. And unknown genetic origin, light green buds, and resemble balls of sheep's wool.
Not Northern Lights, but
sativa.
Yeah,
it green, like no purpling at all.
This not is another pot farm strain.
It yep. is.
You got yeah.
Alex nailed it. It's a lamb's breath. It's
nice.
Nice.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Breath are believed to be energetic and uplifting. Reviewers on Leafly, shout out to them because they have a First Amendment right in New York now, by the way. They say lamb's breath makes them feel energetic and creative. It's only 18% THC and 1% CBD. Caryophyllene is the dominant terpene, and it has a pungent, cheesy, and sweet, yet spicy flavor.
You were right. It's in origins in Jamaica.
I always thought so, but it says like unknown genetic origin. So I'm like, oh, I always thought it was a Jamaican strain, but I could be wrong and often am.
Yeah, it said believed to be a Jamaican strain. Rasta, man. All right. How was that? That's what we got going on.
Well, we can go to shit that I wasn't expecting, or we can go back up to a Barron's article regarding Europe.
All right, Europe's good.
Or nationals. Let's do some European news. Global European news. Barron's magazine is reporting that 9 have been arrested in Juicy Fields cannabis fraud probe. The European police have swooped a website operators now defunct cannabis investment scheme. Uh-oh, not another defunct investment scheme. They were able to swindle a staggering 645 million euros out of putative investors, and actual damages could be significantly higher. You see, when you take somebody's dollar, you no longer have a dollar. Damages are very easy to prove.
Mm-hmm. You
didn't take any money. It's hard to prove damages. So my policy and philosophy typically is don't take the money. Unless you've earned it, then send the invoice, then take the money.
There you go.
Yeah, always earn the money. That's very important. Juicy Fields, which Europol calls an elaborate online pyramid payment scheme, between 2020 and 2022 enticed customers to invest as little as 50 euros. Did you know, Miggy, we can set up a regulation crowdfunding raise for our company of up to $4 million. I would not recommend us to do it as an equity raise, but we could do it as a debt raise. And so you loan Miggy and me money and we go get our dispensary open. And so we could have a crowdfunding. And I've done this before for others. And we kind of still have the website. I was loosely involved. Usually when I'm developing the website, I like to be more involved, and the developers were already done. So I'm just kind of helping. But there's a site out there, Illinois Cannabis Crowdfunding, that we could see if we could still get that working and set a raise. The problem is you're able to raise up to 4 million. What you like to do is find the guy that has $4 million.
Sure.
And after that, settle for one, and then you have $1 million to get up. We could totally get operational for $1 million.
But I was just saying, I don't really fear, like, being that we have a license, or one day we will have a license this year, I hope, maybe.
Knock on every wood you can, everybody. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Do a little chakra chant, smash the like, subscribe, help a brother out, all that stuff. The money part, like, this is also what, like, descheduling would help, like, stop separating the fools from their because that's like what a scammer does, right? They want to, like, shill and but this business can be fundamental, like, how you were talking about, like, you got to own toothbrushes, right, to create, like, sustaining wealth or some shit.
Brush business.
A store, a store,
like, if you have a restaurant, you know who likes to eat dinner every day? Fucking everybody. Everybody likes it. And so that's like a toothbrush product, you know? And so it's
totally
restaurants or food. That Waffle House is open 24/7 and they serve waffles because the profit margins are the highest.
And this is shit that I never thought about, like, with the activism stuff, right? Like, my main priority with life has always been like stop fucking with us and leave us alone. But eventually, though, because as someone who has been working in compliance and has seen some, like, how sometimes you're like, I don't want to take a Boeing plane, or I don't want to have an exploding phone. Like, this is my line of work. I did a good job when nothing fucking happens. And that's very boring situation, but it's also safe and secure. And that's the compliance thing that we were all trying to, you know, have lab tested plant, maybe proper labeling. But what does that mean? Right. Like, just fucking tell everybody what's in the plant. Because people smoke cigarettes and will do shitty things. So, like, if there are more informed consumers, who's harming? But we're not going to get that regulation until there's some sort of, like, rescheduling, right? Until there's now availability of the testing and shit.
Yes. Let's hope so. But, that's interesting. My camera, just for whatever reason, thought I was up here. Now it thinks I'm back down here. AI is great. It's great. I mean, back when we started the show, I didn't have to worry about AI. But now everybody does, including the state of Ohio, whose AI is telling us that Ohio is the coolest state. And it's going to be in our, it's not the coolest state, by the way. But if you're in there and you live there, you think it is, and that's okay. But Ohio is one of the first states that I've ever seen that defines total THC as Delta 9.
Okay. So it's after the burn.
Yeah.
But, and again, this is why we need that federal guideline, because just like in California, where they all have overall one form of testing, everybody needs that same form of testing. That way you can buy the same cannabis in California that you buy in New York. It'll be the same product. We all have the same palate, same perspective of what it is. But go Ohio.
Well, let's go through this. I mean, like, again, Ohio, they say that recreational sales could start in 2 months. Maybe in June, maybe by the July 4th weekend. And what I don't understand is the lawmakers still can't agree. Issue 2, which was approved, they are evidently going to enact it without changes. Who can't find common ground on several proposals? It will play itself out as the voters passed it for now. House Minority Leader Allison Russo told the State House News Bureau she's not very optimistic that there will be large changes, hopefully something around the edges, and the Department of Cannabis Control is progressing through the rulemaking progress. The first people
will be the ones that already have licenses. They're the only ones that are going to be able to start selling. So, you know, there's 124, I want to say, operational dispensaries in the state of Ohio. Wrong, it might be 144. There's been like 150 dispensary licenses issued. Damn. And those will be the first ones. They can apply for dual facility license, which I hope our facility can do. That is a bill that's in Illinois because the medical patients, they get deals and they're the heaviest buyers of the product. And so you really want to be able to sell to medical patients, even if their stuff's tax-free, and then help people who can qualify to become medical patients sign up for it, as it could be substantial savings for those patients because the taxes do add up.
You can't have both in your guys' story. You get to have either medical or recreational.
Yeah, you have to remember that these limited market states, just like Ohio, these laws are written and lobbied for by the people that have the licenses and get the cash flows. That's how all industry is. Why do you think there's three companies that make chicken in this country?
No, I get that part. But what, like, every state I've been to, you can buy, like, a patient can get their cannabis at the rec stores. I mean, but you have two separate. The thing is, you guys are also different as far as, like, you have the seed-to-sell patient registry in the beginning of your guys' medical times, right? Like in our before times, it was, hey, I got this holistic doctor who says I got the case of the Mondays and my chakras are on the line. I mean, like, it's whatever, right? But we all have to have our own safe wellness practices. But like fundamentally, like legalizing cannabis so everybody can use it, go to the store, whatever. It's your choice, right? Like there's this, part of the problem with like the perception of this plan is like, you know, some people can't handle it. Some people probably shouldn't. And then some people can. But you can't.
Then you also get stuff like this. Well, you know, some people can handle it, but then this happens.
Like this.
And some shit that we did not see happening. 90% of smokable hemp samples analyzed by researchers over at the National Institute of Standards and Technology fail when it comes to legal amounts of THC. This was reported on by Marijuana Moment and a study recently published from the NIST. 90%, actually 93% contained more than 0.3% THC, which I'm assuming is total because they aren't saying Delta 9 in the article. But the study researchers at NST, an arm of the Commerce Department, and SUNY, that is the State University of New York, Albany, they analyzed 53 smokable hemp products from five commercial manufacturers for a variety of cannabinoids, including Delta 8, Delta 9, both of the THC, THCA, and total Delta 9 THC. The manufacturers' product names are not included in the report for, you know, they didn't want to narc you out, man.
Well, this is, we talked about this before. This one's kind of a flaw study because unless they were testing this at the same moment that the, because all these plants have COAs, right? Everything. If you're going to be, selling product over like mail, gas station, wherever it is, it got tested somewhere along the line. And you can say like, look, cops.
Yeah, federal regs. Yeah, but no. Like the federal regs just require you to test for like the line no more than 30 days before harvest. And so.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. So like.
Plants will pass the total THC of 0.3% 30 days before you cut. My plants downstairs won't because we got about 14 days before harvest. They stink.
But I'm just saying, doing this study, when you go to the store and say you're going to base like the, I mean, it should be known that all of them have some THC levels in them anyways, right? You're going to piss hot, right? This is the real question that comes down to how do we regulate this THC thing that we say is psychoactive? But like this study, if you were testing all this like gas station weed, the decarbonation, all the other shit that happens after the plant has been cured and dries and shit, unless you're testing it right at the same moment the other lab that produced the COA, you know, tested it, and then you can say shenanigans. But you can't say any, this is just like, this is what happens to the plant. you know, after.
Of course you can say shenanigans when it's THC. And then I hear people saying, like, but once it's Delta 9 THC in hemp, it always counts as hemp. And I'm like, okay, that there's arbitrariness, there's loopholes, and then there's just that. I don't get that because the definition is overly vague and broad, in my opinion. But it says Delta 9 THC, and then how do you test for it? Total. And so, like, pretty much all THCA is not hemp. It can't be, especially if it has a COA that has a total THC of like 25%. But people are saying that that's legal, though. I don't understand it. And you know who else doesn't? The United States Cannabis Council. They sent a letter to the chairwoman of the Senate Agricultural Committee, the ranking member of the Senate Agricultural Committee, John Boozman, who is a funny guy, like last name Booz, but Honorable Glenn Thompson. And he's the House Chair of the Ag Committee. And then the ranking member, so all the leaders of this particular thing in the House, they want definitional change. And they say it's the federal product safety oversight of hemp legalization has created a national market of untested and unregulated intoxicating products, which, of course, this test from the NIST corroborates. And so what do you do? Some people, they say nothing. Just keep it. It's like legalization, except you call it hemp.
Yeah, but here's the big issue, though. Like overall, the regulation of how we look at this plant is just wrong. I mean, overall, like if we get reschedulation, like say like the moon stars align, just like post-apocalyptic eclipse actions happen, and we actually get rescheduling where there's some infrastructure, the regulation, though, one, it just like be a different opportunity now for like the farmer. Like say like they have a good stock and it's like, man, this makes great hempcrete. I don't want to sell it for CBD or whatever lotion or
that. Again, it's like over 95% of all the hemp that's being planted is being grown for its cannabinoids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like it would give more power to the farmer, though, as far as the cannabinoid, like whether it gets too hot or whatever it is, right? Because it is nature. You're still trying to, I got little sprouts that I'm trying to grow still that like there's my survivors for my cats. So it's a process to understand the plant, but I think this would also give more protections though to the growers or the farmers. What do you want to tell you guys?
Well, I mean, they got some proposed language. No idea this proposed language is going to go down, by the way. And so that is, I could add it, you know, if we want to make sure that our screen kind of works, I'd say let's try that one and then add that one in there. So the additional definition, and so they want the definition of hemp, and then underneath that, products in final form intended for human or animal consumption, which are A, made or derived from hemp or hemp byproducts, and B, contain detectable quantities of total THC and any other intoxicant that be derived from hemp, including other forms of THC, and are intended to be consumed and or absorbed inside the body by any means, including inhalation, ingestion, insertion, or topical application, shall be excluded from the current definition of hemp and are considered marijuana under the CSA. That's what they want to do. They want to make sure there's a strict cleavage behind the THC and the usage of cannabis for psychoactive purposes from industrial or CBD purposes.
I don't think that's still going to help the situation, right? Like, I think because in the end, the plant's going to, you're when you try it with intention, like you're going to have perfect Roma tomatoes. But like, what if like you get a mutant or, you know, somebody stressed it, you know, someone, because a plant can change, right? It can hurt me.
But then they had like that list of ands. And so like made or derived from hemp and contain that, and are intended to be consumed inside the body. So it almost seems like it's like, oh crap, too high. We aren't going to be using this. I guess we're going to have to like chop it up and give it to animals.
Yeah.
Animal consumption. So we can't feed this stuff to dogs. Dogs, of course, are not herbivores. Let me give it to sheep, right?
Well, I give my puppy, Chris Martin makes little biscuits. Little paw putties, hemp things, but And again, how we regulate this plant, it doesn't empower the farmer. I think it
makes the farmer apprehensive. Like you can't get arrested for growing corn wrong, but you can get arrested for growing hemp wrong. You can get shamed at like the local Casey's for growing corn wrong. That's funny.
Why is your shit purple, Bob?
Actually, I was trying a new cross.
Hey, we got this BDSA.
The BDSA has put out a new projection. Global legal cannabis sales to hit $58 billion in 2028. Yeah. That will say that U.S. sales are going to be 80% of the global market share by 2028. And in 2023, legal cannabis sales was $36 billion. That is not the largest CAGR out there. And CAGR, of course, is compound annual growth rate. 10% compound annual growth rate from 2023 to 2028, which is about a quarter of what AI's is. AI's is going to be about 37% for the same duration from 2023 through 2028. So if you are sitting on $1 million and you want to put it to work, do you want to put it to work where it's going to grow at 10% a year or 37%? This is one of the reasons why the stupid money from cannabis probably is not coming back.
Well, this market, the industry per se has matured beyond, right? Like people think like cannabis was like the NTF, right? It attracts these kind of people, right? Crypto, NTF, like Web 3.0. I want to like be a crypto millionaire next month, but money doesn't work that way ideally, right? It's like why invest in Coca-Cola or Disney? Because you're gonna have like a stable return, because if it's older, more
dividend. So like stock prices have theories as to why they are what they are, and sometimes those theories and the actual price get way out of touch with one another.
Because that money's still out there, but I think people are going to look at like legacy brands now, like Jungle Boys, right? Like people with a footprint in this culture in the industry are going to like, hey, my money will be safe when I throw it in there, right? Like when we open our store, right? Now we're going to learn about like infrastructure and HR and management and all that stuff. But like, still not planned. We didn't have a plan. We're just working on it. And okay.
Well, exactly. How much of a plan are you going to do until you actually get issued a license? And so it's the downside of the social equity lottery, where you're going to bestow this privilege upon a person that owns more than 50% of the company that was awarded randomly, and that you're reasonably sure does not have the knowledge, capital, or experience to not get swindled out of their money. Yeah. And then especially when you consider like Bernie Madoff was able to swindle wealthy people that purportedly knew something. It's tough, but then it's the boat that we're in, and it's the boat that some of our other clients, I hope that we win a bazillion of these for other people so that they can get a chance to have a life change themselves for the better, as opposed to the life change for the worse that happened as a result of them becoming justice involved by the crap cannabis laws.
Well, we're getting there. So we got this one of this article from, I think I closed it. Holy shit. Fuck.
I got it. SciPost. SciPost is reporting that cannabis use is linked to lower likelihood of experiencing subjective cognitive decline. And that may be exactly why Willie Nelson's still touring and Tommy Chong is still making you laugh with his little Instagram reels and then the other stuff. Like he's going to be What video game is Cheech and Chong getting a skin in?
Call of Duty, baby. They shoot you and you turn to a joint.
They what?
Like one of the effects that happens is when you get shot, you turn into a joint. We're so stoked to play this fucking game.
Yeah. When does that come out? 420?
420, yeah.
I know where a lot of gamer stoners are going to be on 420.
Ooh, and they're doing like some Call of Duty's doing like this whole weird stoner thing right now. Now, like one of the games you can play. So one of the skins is options for free is Snoop Dogg if you get a battle pass or whatever. But one of the games is like the psychedelic, like everything around you, and then you have to collect these four skunks, and the skunks give you like stoner superpowers where you're like focus and still don't know any of the other ones yet. But it's just crazy to think that this billion-dollar industry is openly just creating, and they always have kind of given a nod to weed, but like they gave it a full on, like, here's a season of like weed shit. And right now I'm a sloth that has a ghillie suit with pot leaves in it. So it's pretty well.
Cool. Hey,
yeah.
Let's keep this cavalcade rolling because we got about 5 more minutes to the top of the hour. We can do a state update out of Pennsylvania. Have you seen that one? Pennsylvania is trying to get into the legalization game. One of the reasons why Pennsylvania has not yet passed. And if you are joining us from Pennsylvania, good on you. Hopefully you're getting something out of this. You tune in, you subscribe, you leave us a comment and a thumbs up. So the reason why they haven't legalized, and we've had lawmakers that aren't even lawmakers anymore in Pennsylvania with their bills that they introduced years ago. It has to do with the maybe some gerrymandering, but Pennsylvania is one of the 7 swing states out there. And the swing states really have not legalized it by and large, with the exception of maybe Arizona and Nevada, if you call them swing states. But swing and also Michigan, but swing states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania have not legalized it. And some of the reasons are is that it's very evenly divided. So with cannabis being mostly a party line vote, with the Democrats voting to legalize and the Republicans voting to keep it a crime, it's very difficult to get a legislation out of a state which requires legislation to legalize, unlike in Arizona or in Nevada.
Okay.
And so that's one of the things. I mean, that might explain why this very bipartisan popular issue won in those states where they could do it at a ballot initiative, as opposed to states like Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, where it must be done legislatively.
Texas too, right?
Texas isn't a swing state. Texas is a Republican state. It's getting more purple, but that's kind of like saying Georgia is a swing state. And Georgia's kind of becoming a swing state, but it is red
as
a
swing state. Yeah, no, I mean, like the rule per se, the rulemaking process, right? Because that's why you're here. You're like, how can I fucking have legalized weed in my area, right? Like, we talked about Ohio. We had Ohio Appalachia on here normal, what, like
4 years ago?
Yeah, you know, again, how fast this wonderful process of like, maybe I... you know, when you say you want to sell weed for a living, yeah, it takes a long time to like eventually even get to the position where you're like, I can legally be a law. Because isn't that the whole thing, right? You just want to be like a law-abiding citizen, not get fucked with, and go on vacations, call it a day. But like, hey, check this out. I got this map that we can share my screen. So you remember that Pew report that talked about like how most dispensaries are an area? I just thought it was wild. Like all the empty space. That's a scary spot, right? Like either that or no population. I mean,
no population.
Yeah, but like it's still pretty wild to see the like right there in Texas, all the money that's going to be leaving them, or you know, are those areas like that don't like money, or you know, progress?
A lot of the areas like west of the Mississippi are just empty. We have a lot of space in the west.
Well, like say Wyoming, right there, like clear space, right?
Very few people
get involved though, right? Say if you're like 1 out of 100 people of the population, you can actually help make change, just like in Ohio did, where they went from county to county, and then overall now they have recreational 5 years later. So it's possible. That was my whole point.
Well, let's end the show with some quotes from the FDA commissioner, Robert Califf.
Oh yes.
And so the FDA commissioner was at a hearing before the House Oversight and Accountability Committee on Thursday, and Representative Nancy Mace pressed him, Mr. Califf, on the timeline for the scheduling review. And he said, there is no reason for DEA to delay making a marijuana scheduling decision. He furthered that comment saying, as a child of the 60s, it would be nice in my lifetime if we caught up with a regulatory or if we came up with a regulatory scheme for cannabis. That is the FDA commissioner, Robert Califf. Hopefully he is working on that regulatory scheme after it is rescheduled so that your doctor can prescribe you medical cannabis. And they also need to regulate CBD and other hemp products, because there's no regulation from the FDA yet on hemp.
Well, how come we haven't heard from the DEA leadership, right? Shouldn't there be like someone in charge that's in charge of DEA that can like push the issue, right? Isn't that something that we should be looking for?
Yeah, but these things also do take time, and so they have to draft it and think about it and procedurally and what definitions they have to create and how the mechanisms work. So, like, I did a bit about the hemp law and then how long, you know, December 2018, signing the hemp bill into law. Mm-hmm. After the people at the Hill, like, debated it in April and they added it to the farm bill, and of course, like, nothing could get done because it's Congress. And so at the end of the year, they had this big omnibus bill, and then it got signed and it funded the government for another year. So that that then was assigned to the rulemaking over at USDA, and they did not publish their interim final rule, which is what we're waiting for from the DEA. Okay. Once again, I will throw that link to the DEA's Federal Register webpage, where you can sign up to get the email alert for the day when they publish their rule on rescheduling to Schedule 3. That took for hemp 11 months. And so it has not been 11 months since the shit dropped on their desk and they said, move it. It's only been, let's see. So August, we can basically not count. So September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. And we're only kind of midway through April. So we're at like 8. So look for it in the next couple of days or 3 months, hopefully.
Well, I mean, it sounds good, but I hate to be Schumernized, you know, just like I don't want to be Youngkin'd. But like, I just Googled it. And so I really hope Ann Milgram, if you're listening, because you're probably not. But I mean, what do you do all day? You're head of the DEA. You know, it's not like there's proper things to reinforce. To enforce, right? There should be priorities and shit. So,
heck yeah, man. But that's our show.
Yes,
we did it. We've done cannabis legalization news for middle of February. Next week, 420. I hope that you guys have wonderful 420 plans. Maybe some of you are going to go see Fish at the Sphere. I don't know. Some of you might do demonstrations for prisoners. Some of you may just smoke some good weed. I will be at my sister's wedding, and then on Sunday, I hope to be here with you asking you guys, what did you do on your 420? Miggy, got plans? Call of Duty? Oh, yeah.
I think I'll be doing that. And then other than that, you know, smoke weed and do shit.
Hey, I wanted to give a last shout out to our members of the channel, our producers of the show, and your name will appear in the credits.